Our Bible reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we begin at verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra? The persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how, from infancy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Good morning, saints. Good morning. Good to see you. I've got a picture here. It's rather bleached out by the sun. Shout out if you know what it's called. Light of the World by Holman Hunt. Holman Hunt was a rock star in his day. There were quite a few copies he made. One of them's in Keble College in Oxford. There's another in St. Paul's Cathedral. But he took it on tour. Sometimes there were 10,000 people coming to look at it because it pointed people to Jesus so beautifully. And he wanted it to be evangelistic and to strengthen faith. And of course, it's based on a verse from the Bible, the last book of the Bible, called, you do know, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, which is, here I am, or behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. And it's often used as a verse, as an invitation to come to Jesus for the first time. If you've never yet given your life to Jesus, and can I say, if you haven't, we'd love you to do that. I think it will be, without doubt, eternally and in this life, the best decision you've ever made. It doesn't inoculate you from life and stuff happens, but traveling through life with Jesus is the best decision I've ever made, and I think that anyone could make. But actually, the original context, Revelation 3:20, is written to Christians, to people who are already followers of Jesus. And it's saying, open the door, maybe open it again or open it wider. And today we're starting a six-week series through Lent, this period of preparation leading up to Easter, the three holy days of Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday and Easter, that changed the world forever and can change our own lives. And Jesus is saying, I'd love to share that with you. Open the door to me. And so Celebration of Discipline is a book by Richard Foster. It's an excellent book. It was written 45 years ago. I've read it a couple of times. I scanned it again before this series. And I thought, these are ancient disciplines in the church, and their whole purpose is to help us get to know Jesus, to open the door to him a little bit wider. It's so insightful. And unlike some academic books, it's not impenetrable. It's an easy read. But life, easy advice of how to grow closer to Jesus. And so this Lent, we'll look at some ancient spiritual disciplines that can help us grow. Of course, they only work if we actually do them. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation of reading a self-help book, and I just, you know, read one and feel generally better about life because I've read it. If it's not about relationships, then Sue might say, you know, if you put some of it into practice, it might be even better. So we read, learn, inwardly digest, and then there's some kind of transformation. So that's my hope for myself and for you through this Lent. And some of the disciplines will be ever so familiar. You'll know about them. Praying. I'm sure every single person in the church prays. And it may be we're in a routine, or maybe it just happens occasionally we remember, or we're desperate. Think of a friend who found his daughter had put his number, his mobile number on the phone, ICE, in case of emergency. And for some of us, prayers like that. If you're really desperate, you might even pray. But for others, you know, we do it different. Giving, that's a regular thing that for many of us, we would want to give to the work of God. But then there may be some things you've never really thought about. The discipline of solitude, choosing to be alone, to put down distractions, and that's what most of them are about, putting down, turning down the volume on what's normal life or bodily appetites, like fasting. It's turning down the volume and saying, I'm going to use that time instead to pray and concentrate on Jesus. And if that's really new to you, don't worry, it's been going on for thousands of years. But they're all huge topics. This is only a very cursory, a brief introduction, and we're not going to try and get too weird or esoteric. I know some of us have a head start on that. But it's about normal Christian life, trying to get closer to Jesus. And we're giving this Lent as an opportunity for all of us, if you'd like to give it a go, to try out some new spiritual disciplines and practices to see if they do work for you. Some are individual. Only you and God will know if you do them. Others are more corporate, to encourage each other. So today we're thinking about meditation. The idea that I would do any teaching at all about being quiet is beyond laughable, I realise, but I'm going to give it my best shot. So meditation, and of course that word means different things to different people. There's different ways in different cultures and world religions of what it means. In Eastern traditions, meditation tends to be about freeing the mind, of emptying the mind. That's not like Christian meditation, which is actually the opposite. It's about deliberately filling our mind with Jesus in different ways. And there's different techniques or exercises that can help in that. The two main ways I want to pick out are, firstly, looking at God's extraordinary creation. You probably do this anyway. This week, at dusk, I went up onto Hilltop Way. I thought, old Sarum's going to be too busy. I'll go up onto Hilltop Way and see a planetary procession. It'll be some time before it comes my way again. How many of you did happen to do the same? Not on Hilltop Way. You went out to look at the planetary procession. Okay. It was big news. None of you ignore the news. That's fine. Well, I find, just like the psalmist said, when I look at the stars, the work of your fingers, you know, it turns my mind to God. So I love looking at the night sky. What was particularly good, I dragged Sue up there, who was a bit doubtful probably about the whole exercise, and we bumped him into another church member called Bill. Turns out he knows lots about planets and stars, and he had binoculars. And he said, oh, look, there's Venus, the bright and morning star. There's Jupiter, and Saturn's just gone below, and there's Mars. You can pick out Mars because it's red. And suddenly, he was naming the stars. I thought, this is very cool. But the point was, we'd both thought, let's go and look at what God has done to turn our hearts to awe and wonder at the Creator. Now, the other way of meditating and responding to God is looking at His Word. Not great chunks of scripture. Tonight, for example, Jim, who read the Bible, is going to be leading tonight, 7 o'clock in here, the book of Nahum. Now, I'll be surprised if many of you could name a single verse from Nahum. It's quite a niche Old Testament prophet. It's quite bleak in places. It's only three chapters, but it's not for the faint-hearted in some ways. I'm not putting you off. Do come along. But we're going to read all three chapters. It's not, you know, and it's good to know God's word. That's not meditating, though. That's seeing the big sweep in a shallow way. Whereas meditating is seeing a very narrow bit much more deeply. So it might be just one verse, or even just one phrase, or one word of one verse. Now, here's what Psalm 119, and Psalm 119 is a whole celebration of God's word. So you may have noticed, if you've got a Bible, that it's got a successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and all the way through, and there's eight verses on each of those. So it's one of those poems where each of the new lines begins with the next letter of the alphabet. But what he writes in Psalm 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I won't sin against you. By meditating, I'm going to really get into God's word, and it's going to help me live a better life. And how's that going to happen? I'm going to meditate. That's how I'll get God's word in my heart. I'll meditate on your precepts and consider all your ways. And what happens when we do that? He reckons in verse 18, God will open his eyes and he'll notice wonderful things in God's law. They were there all the time. He just, like treasure hidden in a field, hadn't yet stumbled on it. But by meditating, he suddenly sees it. And what's the point? I mean, you could really ask that after every sermon. What's the point? So what? Well, he says, verse 23, though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. This is actually going to make a difference to my life. God's word will resource me for the life I'm called to lead. Hindu and Buddhist meditation that I know almost nothing about, but they would typically aim at detachment, emptying and cutting off. Whereas Christian meditation is the opposite. It's about attachment to Jesus. And it could sound terribly difficult or complicated, and it really isn't. All it does require is a little bit of discipline. And I've used this image before, but just again, the word trellis is interesting. A trellis is a frame upon which we could grow plants. The Latin name for a trellis is a regula, and from which you get the word rule, regulation. A rule of life is what Christians for hundreds or maybe thousands of years have tried to build a trellis, a discipline into their lives, not for, as an end in its own right, but a spiritual pattern to help us to grow, not to constrict, but to liberate. So it's a framework which helps us grow more joyful and fruitful in life. And as you know, I've said before, we grow things in our back garden. So if you've grown a tomato plant and not given it any support, it just stays pretty low to the ground, doesn't it? And it doesn't do terribly well. If you don't take out the new shoots, you get lots of very small tomatoes. But if you take out the shoots and if you train it up and then de-leaf appropriately, so I was brought up in Guernsey, you can grow much bigger and better fruit. So it feels hard on the plant, but actually you're training it into greater fruitfulness. And without sticks, I like my sweet peas as well. I'll say no more about that. But it can become better if we train it with a trellis. And that's what we're trying to do. The fruit swells, it catches more light. So spiritual disciplines are like a trellis to become spiritually fit. And as the writer to the Hebrews rightly says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. Don't you know it? I mean, it's horrible. Those of you who go out running in the gym, there's someone who comes to the teddy bears at the moment, an American, and he's a very fit guy. He goes for a marathon, you know, once or twice a week. And I've sometimes seen him at sort of 9:30. He said, oh, yes, when I was running through the close, I'm like, what? You know, it is its own punishment. And yet it is its own reward as well. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trellised, who've been trained by it. Peter ends his second epistle, the second letter of Peter, chapter 3. He just says his final beautiful verse, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Grow in grace and knowledge. So these are disciplines that we're going to look at in the hope that we can do that. How else will we grow in grace, that's becoming more like Jesus, or in knowledge, understanding God's ways? So that's where we're heading. How do we start meditating? The best way is really easy. Just start. Just do it. Read a little scripture every day if you don't yet read the Bible. I suggest you do. I really encourage you. There is nothing else like it to resources. Even if you just burst it, chose to do it based on this one verse. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, the whole book, is God-breathed and is useful. Not just for pub quizzes, is useful for teaching, rebuking, telling me off, correcting me, training me, and training like a trellis in righteousness. Because we follow Jesus not for information, but for formation, for the people we are becoming. So what is meditating? Well, it might be you watch one thing in creation, or watch or look at one scripture, and you chew on it. You may know that cows have a stomach with four compartments, and the first compartment is called the rumen, and it swallows, it goes into the rumen, and then it regurgitates it and chews it again, and it goes down. It's a lovely thing, isn't it? And that's called ruminating. And the Hebrew word meditation comes from that meaning, chewing the cud of a cow, meditating, chewing. And it's to get the food you've eaten really small to make it more digestible into smaller and smaller pieces so that you can get the goodness out of it. So that's slowly breaking it down. What does it look like in creation? Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. So it might be you just like looking at the sky or the sea or mountains or whatever it is. This week, I went for my morning walk one day, and at about 7:30, I saw a kingfisher for only the second time next to the river. And it's just that gift that is there for about a microsecond. A flash of blue and then it's gone. And I think, well, I could spend ages looking for it. Is that really good use of time? I just know if I don't ever go down there, I never see it. So I think of prayer and making space for God like that, where we can't make God turn up, but where it's the space in which God may show us something we hadn't quite expected. Now, as an example, I'm not saying this is a brilliant or best way of doing it, but what we do as a family, it started during lockdown, actually, in the pandemic. I got into a little routine because we couldn't see our family. So every Sunday morning, I'd go for a walk and take a photo of something that just somehow caught my attention. Nothing dramatic, just I noticed it, And then I thought, I want to spend a little bit more time doing that. And ever since then, every Sunday morning, I send them, and I mean, I'm sure they delete them almost immediately, but all my children. So this is one a few weeks ago. Do you remember it was really foggy? And I was walking through Victoria Park, and I looked across to the church, and I could just make out the cross on the top of the church. And I thought, oh, I think I just want to look at that for a bit longer. I want to meditate on that. And then some words came into my mind. On this foggy morning, may nothing obscure your view of the cross which towers over the mists of time. I felt pretty smug. I thought that was a rather a poetic and beautiful thing to say. I didn't get any likes from my children, but I posted it to them. So it's not difficult. I just noticed and then thought, what's been called out of me by noticing that? Some of them were nice, actually, so. But it's for me, not for them. Then last week, this was the one I sent. I've walked through the park hundreds, thousands of times, but I suddenly noticed this tree. And early in its life, it had two branches, and one, even though it hasn't got leaves because it's winter, is very healthy and strong. And the other suddenly has died. There's nothing on it at all. And I suddenly thought of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does this, but cursed is the one who does that. We have life choices, and some of them end in life, and some end in death. And I wanted to meditate. I just stopped and looked and thought. And then I said to them, today, may you find the branches that lead to life. Because I know so often I've not done that. And I want to get better at noticing, where is God's life in my life and making good choices? So I'm not David Bailey. I don't need to be. He was David Bailey. I'm me, but I can still notice God's world. And you can do this. Many of you, I'm sure, way better at than me. But I find it a practice that helps me appreciate some of what God's been up to. And the other, of course, is probably, I think, more important, is hearing God's voice through Scripture. Now, this is an example. It was almost random. It popped into my head, though. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now, why don't we all say it together? Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul liked long sentences. He wasn't very good at English grammar, but anyway. Now, the way you would meditate on that, if you thought, oh, I might give that a go, and I've done it on these two verses, just choose one word or phrase at a time and only stress that. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Next time, now to him who is able to. Now to him who is able. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. Now, if you do that simple thing, not rushing it, you're meditating, but each time you stress a different word, you will have read that verse 20 times. That's meditating. And I'm quite sure you will notice things about it. For me, the bit I love that seems to me mind-boggling out of all God has done, there's glory in the church. God's great idea is that church will be the way people will come to know what he's like. His glory is in the church. So that struck me because I meditated on it. So you could choose, all scripture is God-breathed. You could choose any verse, I think. I mean, if it's 1 Chronicles and it's a list of names, it's tough. I've yet to find that really lifts my spirits a lot. So you choose bits that you think, you want to. You feel stirred. Many years ago, maybe 30 years ago, I spent an afternoon in Romans 15:13. There's different translations, and I find I don't get this translation. I remember the one I learned, that I meditated on. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you put your trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I just spent time in that, and it's now with me forever. It turns out I could hide God's word in my heart. I'm still sinning a bit, so it's not fully completed its work, that I might not sin against thee. But it's doing good in me because I meditated. So it's not tricky, it's just finding or making time to do it. And I really recommend it. Now, today's theme is actually meditation and study. I'm not going to spend so long on study. Meditation, then, we've thought about that. But maybe you've never read a Christian book. Well, don't be ashamed about that. But you could. They're not difficult. Many of them are very accessible. So these are three that I would highly recommend. Many of you might have read this, but by J.I. Packer, Knowing God. It does what it says on the front. This is about getting to know the very identity and nature of God, his powers, his omnis, his omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. What is God like in his essential being? Maybe you've never really thought about that. J.I. Packer, it's a jolly good read. Maybe you think, I'd like to get to know the ways of God in his heart. The Return of the Prodigal Son by Henry Nouwen. Just a beautiful book. It's an extended reflection on two things, on the parable of the prodigal son, but also on the picture by Rembrandt that's on the front and on a card in the book. We've got quite a lot of these in the prayer room, which is just, do go and have a look there. There's lots of books and good resources. And this, where he does in this, looks at what does it mean to be a prodigal returning? What does it mean to be a loving father? What does it mean to be an older brother? And actually, all of us are in all three places at times. That's another great book. And then, of course, Richard Foster's Celebration of Discipline. The subtitle is The Path to Spiritual Growth. So this is my hope for myself and for you. If we even read just a little bit every day, we will begin to meditate and study and grow. Study could sound hard work. I was an English teacher, but as a child, I was an exceedingly slow reader. I really struggled to read. And even now, I'm not a fast reader. But I just recommend them because they've been a blessing to me. So there's been an awful lot of words. What I'd like us to do is just be quiet. And let's listen. What do you think Jesus is saying to you as a response? Which might be, do you know, I can't take up any of that at the moment. Be at peace. But is that just your voice or is that the voice of God? So let's just be still and think, how might we respond? How can we get closer to Jesus through the next 6 weeks of Lent? The psalmist said, your word is a lantern to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, take us and use us. Illuminate our way. That we may know your ways and inhabit your likeness more fully in the days ahead. Come, Holy Spirit. And those of us who think, I'll never do that, Lord, those of us who've got broken wills, would you repair them and help us see that we can do something rather than nothing to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Me. Can we just have that last verse back up on the screen, please? Though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that's the path I walk. And that I sense the kind of evil one in a variety of forms. But he's there. And the path can be really dark. And the way that I know that he, God, is with me and for me, with his rod and his staff, that he pushes me in one direction, pokes me to go a certain way. The way I know that is by just sitting with him in his word and meditating. I just offer that to you as it spoke to me.